welcome to our broadcast. Today we begin a new series on the missionary journeys of Paul. We'll look at his first missionary journey. Stay tuned for our program. As we look back in Acts chapter 12, we find that there's much persecution against the church at this time. They took James and killed him and put Peter into prison. But in Acts chapter 12 and verse number 5, we have these words, but prayer was made in the church, it says, and Peter, he was sleeping, it says, while the angel came and had to actually smote him in the side to wake him up. How could he sleep thinking he was going to die tomorrow? Well, I used to say that, you know, there's no sleeping in heaven, so he figured he better get it done while he could. Oh, that's kind of funny, but that's not what it was. The reason he was sleeping was, if you remember, in John chapter 21, when he had that discussion with the Lord about how he would die, he was going to be crucified, and he was going to be an old man when it happened, and this didn't fit those things that Jesus said, so just go to sleep. If you believe Jesus, life is a lot better for you. Well, we see he got out of prison, and he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John. That is where the church was meeting, and keep in mind that Mary has just lost her son, James. And she has her other son here, John, and they're gathered together and they're praying. Well, there's a little girl there, her name is Rhoda, and she's probably the only one in the group that really believed and answered prayer. She goes to the door and finds out Peter's there. She runs back and tells him Peter's at the door, and they said in verse 15, "Are you mad? Maybe it's his angel." Well, why are they praying if they're not going to believe? I mean, why waste your time praying if you don't think the Lord's going to do anything? Well, in any event, Rhoda believed, and maybe it was her prayers that got him out of prison. In any event, Peter says in verse 17, "Hold your peace." He's telling them to keep quiet. People are looking for me. And in verse 17, it says he departed and went to another place. Now, that's kind of interesting because at this point, the focus turns from Peter and it turns to Paul. And we're going to begin a new series now. We're looking in Acts chapter 13 at Paul's first missionary journey. So if you have your Bible, you get more out of this study if you follow along with us in the Word of God. We're reading in Acts chapter 13, verse number 1. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. And it names five men here, Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, and Saul. Interesting, this man named Simeon, we read in Mark chapter 15 and verse number 21, that it was he who they took and had bear the cross of Jesus when he was heading for Calvary. And no doubt that is probably where this man got saved. Well, in verse number 2, it says, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, and they sent them away." Now, it says they ministered. Who? Those five men that we just mentioned in verse number 1. They ministered to the Lord. That is, they were actively involved in serving the Lord at the church there at Antioch. And it says they fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Now, that's two of those five men that we have just looked at here in verse number 1. And so, first of all, we see they were busy serving the Lord in the local church. Second, they were fasting, and obviously they were praying. And then the Holy Spirit said, "I have a work for Barnabas and Saul. I have called them." Well, we read again in verse number 3 that they fasted and prayed some more, and they laid their hands on them, and they sent them away. Who sent them away? The local church, not some mission board. The local church sent these missionaries away. Well, so we read again in verse 4, "And so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Now, we just read that, they departed. It was about a 15 or 16-mile walk just to get to Seleucia. Now, there's three men walking along, no telling what they were talking about, but one of them was Paul, one of them was Silas, and we read that they took John Mark with them. Now, who's John Mark? Well, if you go back and read it carefully, you'll find that when Peter was let out of jail and he went to the house there where they were having a prayer meeting, John Mark was there amongst them, and he was a sharp young fella. He's up here now in Antioch, and they decide that they're going to take him along on this missionary journey. So we have Paul and Silas, and we have John Mark. Now, Barnabas is an uncle of John Mark. That makes it a very interesting situation here as we get a little further into the story. Well, we read in verse 5, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. Now, they left Seleucia, and they went across to the island of Cyprus, and they landed, first of all, at this place called Salamis. Now, we see here that they went into the synagogue, and they were preaching, and then it doesn't say a whole lot about what happened there, but when we read verse 6, we read that when they had gone through the aisle unto Pabas, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. Now, we have another trip across the island. Once again, the only way they could do that was to walk, and it was a long journey, taking several days. Well, they come across this sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, and it says here that he was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. Well, we read in verse 8, but Emmaus, which is the sorcerer, but it says that's how his name is done by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on them. Now, filled with the Holy Ghost, you know, we get a little spooky about that. It's very simple what that means. It's like the wind filling the sails of a ship, and the wind fills those sails, and basically what it does is it sends the ship in the direction that the wind wants it to go. And when we talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, that's what we're talking about. It's a matter of sending us in the direction to go and to do the things that the Holy Spirit wants us to do. So Paul here is filled with the Holy Ghost. He sets his eyes on him and said, "Oh, full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" Keep in mind, he's filled with the Holy Spirit. He's under the control of the Spirit. "And now behold," Paul said, "the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Well, you better be careful how you're going to treat somebody who's trying to find the Lord. There's a lot of that going on today, where someone wants to find the Lord, and some of his relatives and friends are going to turn him away. Well, in verse 12, we read, "Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord." And so we find that when Paul, in verse 13, "Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem." Some interesting things here. First of all, it says Paul and his company. Up until now, it's always been Barnabas and Paul. Barnabas and Paul. Everything is Barnabas and Paul. Now, that changes here in this portion of Scripture, and it's referred to here as Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, and they came to Perga. Now, they sailed across to the mainland, And it says that John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Well, when they had departed from Perga, it says, they came to Antioch in Pisidia. Now, that's a different Antioch than what we had where the church was. And it's about a 110-mile walk. Maybe that's why John Mark quit. Maybe that's why he went back home. I'm tired of these trips through the wilderness. And there's mountainous territories. It's not easy. But, you know, the work of the Lord's not easy. In any event, John Mark quit and he went back home. Well, it says that when they departed from Perga and they came to Antioch in Pisidia, they went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. Now, we see here that Paul's message, and this is his first recorded message that as we have when he started on his missionary journey, and it's preached here at Antioch of Pisidia. Now, he's in the synagogue, and what he does is he brings a summary of Jewish history and belief from verse 15 through verse 41, and he ended his sermon with a call to repentance. Now, as you read through this portion of Scripture, you'll find in verse 42 that the Gentiles were very interested in what he had to say, but in verse 45 we read that the Jews were moved with envy, and so we read in 45, but when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Well, what would Paul do? I guess he'll just quit and go back home, get tired of this persecution. That's not what it says. In verse number 46, we read, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Very important verse. He went on to say in verse number 47, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Verse 48 says, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Now, the Calvinists like to jump on that verse. As many as were ordained to eternal life, they say, you know, God selects some people to get saved and selects some people to burn in hell. That's blasphemy, by the way. This word ordained in Acts chapter 15, verse number 2, has been translated, they determined, and that's all it means. As many as determined that they were going to listen to this message of eternal life, they believed. They made a choice and they simply did it. To determine something is to have, having made a firm decision. That's what it means. And they simply made a firm decision to believe what Paul was preaching about. Well, as a result of their efforts, we read in verse number 49, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. And we read in verse 52, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost, and things were beginning now. Churches are being established. Well, the Jews didn't like that. They expelled them out of the country. And it says in verse 51, but they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came into Iconium. Now, when we get to chapter 14, we read in verse 1, it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together, that's Paul and Silas, into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of Jews and also of Greeks, believed. Now we're getting Jews saved, we're getting Gentiles saved, but the unbelieving Jews, verse 2, stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Well, what happened? I guess we'll just quit. This is getting too tough, right? No, that's not what happened. In chapter 14 and verse number 3, we read, long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. They just continued on serving the Lord. And as they did, as the churches were beginning here, it was common to see that God God would grant signs and wonders. But verse 4 says, but the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part held with the apostles. And there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them. Well, 7 says, and they were aware of it, and they fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Laconia, and unto the region that lieth round about, and there they preached the gospel also. A lot of people would have quit by this time, not Paul and Barnabas. Well, we're out of time again. Be sure and tune in for our next broadcast, and we'll continue on this first missionary journey of Paul the Apostle.